Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." I'd like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd love to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we're currently studying through the book of Colossians. We're in chapter number 4 right now, so just a few more weeks and we'll be done with the book of Colossians, and we'll be starting in another book in the Bible. And then on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., we have Sunday school for all ages. And then at 11 a.m., we have our Sunday morning worship service. This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and once again, welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I do want to make an announcement before I get started today. I want to welcome all of our listeners. Noah is usually in the studio with me, but he's working in another project this morning, so he's not here today, but he always welcomes our listeners on WATA right here in Boone, WATA 1450 AM, and then on Saturday mornings, this is rebroadcast on WZAP 690 AM in Bristol, and we appreciate our listeners there. And it's always a blessing to hear from our listeners and get to talk to them and meet them in town and then in different churches we go to. And we certainly appreciate everybody that listens in. But I want to say before I get started today that it is not too early to start thinking about the spring semester with the VBC Bible Institute. And this is something our church started last fall. And that is the VBC Bible Institute. We have a satellite school. So if you're local and you're interested in furthering your biblical education, this is a three-year bachelor's degree program. The great thing about it is you can jump in anywhere along the 3 years. We are currently in our third year, but it doesn't matter. It's the same classes every 3 years that you go through. So if you start at the end, the beginning, the middle, it does not matter. But maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you'd like to learn more about the Bible. Maybe the Lord has called you to pastor or preach, and you'd like to have the opportunity to learn more about the Word of God. We have many pastors' wives and preachers' wives that go through with their husband. And the school is designed where if the wife can do that for free, just pay the registration fee, and she can go through, and it won't cost her anything. So it is designed to help those in the ministry. I know when the Lord called me to preach, and I was already pastoring a church when I started going to VBC Bible Institute, and I couldn't leave and go off to school, and I pastored a church, and I had a job, and had a young family, and so the Lord provided this opportunity for me to go, and I am so thankful. So very thankful that I did. The foundation that I got during those 3 years is just, there's no way to put a value on that, except that it's been a great blessing to me in my ministry. And the spring semester is going to start back January the 12th, and you can go correspondence. You can go to a satellite school. Like I said, we have one here locally at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. That's every Thursday night. You can go be an internet student. You can come to Roane Mountain, Tennessee. That's where I go and teach every Thursday night. And so there's several different ways to be involved with the school. I believe last semester we had about 58 students in all in the different ways that you can go to school. Like I said, satellite, correspondence, internet students, those who come to Roane Mountain. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity. The way that you can find out more about this, you can go to www.vbcministries.org. that VBC stands for Victory Baptist Church, VBCministries.org, and you can go there. You can download a new student application. You can find out what classes are being offered over the three-year period. This coming semester is going to be New Testament Survey Part 2. Pastor Tull Oaks teaches that class. Then the book of Revelation. That's always interesting, and people are very interested in the book of Revelation. That's going to be taught this semester. That'll be taught by Pastor Kenneth Forbes. And then the class which I teach is Missions and Evangelism. And that is something I'm certainly interested in and looking forward to. So that's starting January 12th. If you are interested, or you know someone who might be, go to vbcministries.org, or you can call me at the church. And you know what? I don't have the number, and I forgot it right off the top of my head. But anyway, I'll be giving that in the days ahead, so I apologize for that. But I want to go today to the Bible, 2 Kings chapter number 22 and 23. And we've been talking now for several weeks on the subject of revival. And the more I study about this, the more I think about this, the more I believe with all of my heart that the only chance for our nation, spiritually, physically, morally, financially, however you want to look at it, the only chance of our salvation, you might say, would be in the prospect of revival among God's people. And there has been times in our nation's history in the past where God has sent revival and literally saved our country from certain destruction. And you know what? Our country may not be savable. It may be too late for us. But you know what? It's not too late for revival. And so I want to go today into the Word of God. I see a country in the Word of God that it was too late for them to be spared from the judgment of God, but it was not too late for them to have revival. Now, that's important. I believe in at least my 20-plus years in the ministry, I think that it would be fair to say that most of the preaching that I've heard on revival has centered around to save our country. But, you know, the country can go away and still have revival and it be good. What I mean in saying that is, let me just go back to the Word of God. Israel had revival, but the nation was still judged. And I think that's probably where we are in America today. Our nation is got all kinds of problems. And it may be too late for the nation, but it's not too late for the church. It's not too late for a spiritual revival among the people of God. And we need that. We need that so desperately in this day and time. And I'm going to be reading out of 2 Kings chapter number 22 about something that happened in the life of Josiah, King Josiah. And I want to start in chapter number 23 here. And I'm going to read a few verses there and then I'll make a few comments. But you know, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When I see something in the Word of God, it increases my faith. It makes me desire that. It makes me pray for that. It makes me want that. It makes me seek out the principles in the Word of God that I can follow and teach others to follow to bring that thing to pass. And I think that's where we need to look in the Word of God and see what the Lord has done in revival in the past. And we can say, you know what, if God has done that for them, God will certainly do that for us, because once again, the Word of God says that His faithfulness endures to all generations. And so what the Lord has done in the past, the Lord can do again. And we're going to look during the reign of King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was the king right before the destruction of Jerusalem. And their day was a day that was so far gone spiritually morally, physically, that revival would seem to have been an impossibility. By the time that King Josiah came to reign, Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been taken away into captivity for about 90 years. And it had been 60 years since King Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah was a good king, but after King Hezekiah, there was a king that came along whose name was Manasseh. And I want to read here a little bit about Manasseh and Josiah. Now, here's what the Bible says about Josiah. It says, Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him. Now that's saying a great deal when it says that when it comes to King Josiah, there was no king like before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. So as far as a king that had revival in his heart and in his kingdom, there was no king like him after him or before him that turned to the Lord his God with all of his heart and all of his mind and all of his soul. And you know, if we want to have the help of God in this day and time, we need to turn again to the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our might and do what the Lord has put in his word for us to do. Now, it goes on. That's talking good things about King Josiah, but it says in verse 26, notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. So here in two verses, we find out that there's no king that turned to God like King Josiah did, and they did have a measure of revival during King Josiah's day, but it did not stop the judgment of God because of the wickedness of Manasseh. Now, we may not see a revival that saves America, but revival is not for saving of nations. Jesus didn't die to save America. Jesus died upon the cross to save people. And it's not about nations, it's about people. And I realize that nations are made up of people, but we see here in the Word of God that God gave a revival, but the nations still fail. And Josiah is the last good king before the destruction of Jerusalem. He reigned for 31 years, and during his 31 years, there was a measure of revival in the land. Now, it would be hard to appreciate the revival without first seeing the conditions that King Josiah came to rule under. And I want to point out some things here in the Bible that was going on when King Josiah came to be the king in Israel. Now, first of all, I'm going to go back to chapter 21 in verse number 3, and I want to say that it was a day when idolatry and the occult was having a great revival. It was a day when idolatry and the occult was flourishing in the land, very much like in America today. In America today, we have a fascination with things like magic, Harry Potter, vampires, and you have the Twilight series there. You have Call 1-900 Psychic. You have all kinds of television shows on about mediums and the spirit world and ghost hunters and pet psychic. And somebody asked me, said, what do you think about those things, preacher? Well, I think that's demonic in its origin, and it's under the judgment of God to be involved in these types of things. They are forbidden in the Word of God. But that's exactly how it was when Josiah came to be the king. Chapter 21 in verse 3, the Bible says, and this is talking about Manasseh. Now, this was, Manasseh was his grandfather. And it said about Manasseh, he built up again the high places which Hezekiah, his father had destroyed. Now, Hezekiah was a good king. He got rid of idolatry. Manasseh comes along. He's a bad king. He puts it back into practice. It said, and he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you've heard of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was a wicked king. Manasseh was a wicked king. And they did what Ahab did and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. They took the house of the Lord, the temple, and they put altars in the temple to these false deities, these false gods. Verse 5 said, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So they took the house of the Lord and they started practicing idolatry and false sacrifice to these false gods. Verse 6 said, and he made his son pass through the fire and observed times. That is a reference to what we call astrology. Somebody will get the newspaper and they'll read their report for today and decide, you know, is it going to be a good day? What are the stars going to bring me today? Sometimes they'll say, well, it's in the stars. That phrase comes from a reference to something that's forbidden in the Word of God. They observed times and used enchantments. That's witchcraft that's referring to. And dealt with familiar spirits. That's this practice of going out and seeking to communicate with the dead. It's called spiritism is what it's called. They dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, this is how it was when King Josiah came to reign. There was a revival in his day, but I'll tell you, it was against all odds. Idolatry, witchcraft, the occult was the vogue of the day. That's what the government was practicing. That's what the official decree from the rulers of the land was. This is how we're going to be. We're going to get into idolatry, witchcraft, wizards, the occult, all of these things. There's much of this going on in our day and time. So there was a revival in spite of all of this wickedness that was going on. And as the Bible says there in verse number 6, this provoked the Lord to anger. And God is not happy with these things. They are condemned in the Bible. And so that was going on when King Josiah came to reign. Something else that Manasseh had done, it was a day when there was much innocent blood that was shed. This is what it says in chapter 21, verse 16. Once again, talking about Manasseh. Now, he's the evil king, and it says about him, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. There it is again. We see that Manasseh caused much blood, much innocent blood to be shed. Now, innocent blood, this is not something that was justified in the sight of God. This is not talking about Israel going to war or something like that. Innocent blood, and maybe you, if you go back and read chapter 21, you'll see that he caused his seed to pass through the fire, which means that he offered his children upon the altar of Molech. They practice baby sacrifice. The innocent blood is the slaughtering of children, babies. And you know, we have abortion that has filled the land today. And it is protected by the government and it is condoned by the law. But I'll tell you, God will never, never condone the taking of children for abortion. And we might call it something different, but it's still the slaughtering of an innocent life. It's the killing. It's the murdering. It would suit me if they'd stop calling abortion, abortion, and just say that it's killing babies, because that is what it is. Now, that's what they were doing in the Old Testament. We're doing that today in America, but they still had revival in Josiah's day. This is why I'm bringing these things out. It looked impossible, but in spite of all of these things, God gave a measure of revival in this darkest of day. It was a day when the temple was in disrepair. I must go on this morning. It says in chapter 22 and verse number 5, now Josiah came along, the house of God was in a mess, and they decided to pay the workers to fix it up. I'm summarizing what's going on in chapter 22. It said, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. The house of God was in a mess. There were breaches in the house of the Lord, which leads me to believe, if you study that out, that you could see through the holes in the walls. It was a mess. The temple was in disrepair. Now, the temple is likened by New Testament believers to the church. The house of God was a mess. And you know, we're living in a day now where the church is in much disrepair, in a mess, in a state of sinfulness and carnality and sleepiness and saltlessness, where Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it's not worth anything but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. And that's the day and time we're living in. There's been no revival in so long. Christians have lost that which makes them distinct and different from the world, self-satisfied, sleepy on the Lord. The temple was in disrepair. The church is in a state of disrepair. I don't have time today. I brought some writings of Leonard Ravenhill. If you are interested in revival, if you're interested in really what the Word of God says about revival, get some of the writings of Leonard Ravenhill. I've got a book called Revival God's Way, A Message for the Church, and he talks about the church being sleepy and not standing up for righteousness, and just a lot of good things you'll find in his writings. But the temple was in disrepair. They had lost the Bible in the church. Now, if you're not familiar with this passage of Scripture, you might be familiar with what I'm getting ready to tell you. This is the place in the Bible where they found a copy of the Old Testament law in the temple, and when they read it, the king, he had never read it before. They had fallen in such a state of apostasy and disregard for the things of God, they had lost the Bible in the temple. They'd lost the Word of God in the temple. That's amazing to me. But the Bible says in chapter 22 and verse number 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. They lost the Bible in the church. Here this priest finds a copy of the law, and he gives it to another priest, and he read it. Can you imagine what we would call a preacher or a pastor reading the Bible for the first time, never having had a copy of the Word of God? But that's how their religious leaders were in that day and time. And you know, we do not have that problem. It would be impossible to lose or to get rid of all the Bibles. But you know what? If we just have Bibles and we do not read our Bibles and we do not know what the Bible says and we don't know what the Word of God says, do you know what? We might as well have lost the Bible. Many people don't even know if we have an accurate copy of the Word of God. And so they'll subscribe to the Bible of the Month Club. And you know, there's everything under the sun. Once upon a time, when we had revival in America, let me give you this, and I hope you'll continue to listen and not get mad at what I'm saying, but listen, historically speaking, once upon a time in America, when we had real revival in America, there was no question whether or not we had the Word of God. But now, today, people say, well, I don't know about that King James Bible. I think I'll get me a NIV or a ASV or a CEV or a MICKEYMOUSE. You know, there's everything and anything. They're coming out now with a new international version. And I was reading an article about that. And you know what one of the editors said? He said, "We've got it right this time." You know what he confessed? They didn't have it right last time. Well, let me just settle that for you. We do have the Word of God. And if you want to find out what it is, just look historically at how God's blessed and what God was doing when there was no question that we had the Word of God. But anyway, I must quickly go on this morning. They lost the Bible in the church. That's where we are today. There's a lot of religion going on, but very little following what thus saith the Lord has to say. They lost the Bible in the church. Things were so bad they could not find a man among them to tell them the mind and the will of God. Now, I want you to read this for yourself. It's amazing that God could do anything. They were in such a mess. It looked impossible to have revival. They had to go to Huldah. The Bible says in chapter 22 and verse number 14, now she was a woman, she was a lady. It said in chapter 22 and verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. They didn't have a man among them that could discern the will of God. They had to go to this woman, Huldah the prophetess. Now, I'm not saying anything against her or bad about her. You know what? When men won't do right and be men, women many times have had to come to the forefront and be what the men should be. But if you read over in Isaiah chapter number 3, you know what you'll find out? That when children and women rule over a nation, it is a sign of the judgment of God. Now, I appreciate the ladies in our nation that stand up and, you know, do what needs to be done. Women will come to the front and they'll do what needs to be done, even if they have to do what the man should be doing. And so we give them due there. But it's a sign of the judgment of God when children and women rule over a nation. And you say, well, I don't like that, sir. I don't like what you're saying. That's being a male chauvinist. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 12, and Isaiah was a contemporary of this time as well. And it said in Isaiah 3 and 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. That's where we are in America today. They which lead thee cause thee to err. It does matter who is in authority. And so we are glad that Huldah was there. But those men should have known the Word of God. They should have been able to pray and seek God's face and know what they should do. It was a day when false religion was flourishing. I'm telling you today, if you've just tuned in, about the revival that took place in the darkest of days. I mean, it looked impossible that God could or would do anything for his people. But I'm telling you, during Josiah's days, God moved one last time before Jerusalem was destroyed. And if God could bless them and move and work in Josiah's day, I believe God could work in our day as well. We need revival. That's our only hope. In this day and time, we need a spiritual awakening of the people of God, that there might be an ingathering into the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, no matter what happened to our nation, we'd be glad for it. But it was a day when false religion flourished. I won't have time to get all these things in today. This is in chapter 23 and verse number 5. He put down the idolatrous priest. It was a day when I'm going to have to stop right there. My time is just gone. But I appreciate you listening in. I'm going to pick up next week, Lord willing, and show you about the revival that happened during Josiah's day. And I'll review a few of these things before going on. But we appreciate you listening in. Noah's going to give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Here it is, almost Christmas time, and we'd love to hear from you. Know you're out there and listening, but thank you for listening in today, and have a great day. God bless you. Noah, go ahead.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org.